With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I always enjoy bringing you the latest. This is The Scoop.
It's The Scoop with Darren Dookie Wolfson from 5 Eyewitness News.
And away we go on this Sunday, the 23rd of July. The year is 2023. This is Scoop Podcast episode 422. It is brought to you by MNFatLoss.com. I am now, 3 weeks into my journey down 14, 15 pounds. More importantly, I am feeling way more energized. Very easy program to follow. No prepackaged foods, no counting of points, minimal to no exercise required, although I love to get my steps in. Plus, I play my older son, Droogie, one-on-one in basketball. Need that energy to keep up with him. Heck, to beat him. He's been kicking my behind. So energy is a big deal in my life at the age of 43. Heck, it's going to be very, very hot at Vikings training camp starting on Wednesday. I know fans are not allowed in until Saturday, but media, we will be there starting on Wednesday. Need some stamina, need energy to track all these Vikings players Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday when I will be there. I will not be there on Saturday, Droogie baseball trip time, but I will be there those first 3 days. Need all sorts of energy. That's where MNFatLoss.com comes into play. Go to MNFatLoss.com to schedule your free private consultation. Dr. Adam Shotsko, DC, results may vary. Very grateful to the folks at MNFatLoss.com helping me get to where I want to be. All right, some notes, then conversations. This weekend at Target Field, the Diamondbacks, Rangers, and Marlins are among teams with scouting representation, more so to watch the White Sox. The White Sox are going to sell. The trade deadline, Major League Baseball's trade deadline, is a week from Tuesday. Dallas Keuchel, as I reported on social media on Friday, has pushed back his opt-out date. So he had a chance to opt out of his deal with the Twins organization. He did not. He started last night for the Saints in Omaha, pitched again well. It is trending, continues to trend toward him pitching again in the majors. I think it will be with the Twins, but there's a chance that he eventually does opt out and ends up pitching for a different organization. Heck, you look at the Dodgers right now, maybe the Astros. He's got the history in Houston. There are teams that could use a starting pitcher, but I would not be shocked if the Twins give Bailey Ober a rest somewhere along the way or go to a six-man rotation for a stretch, one or the other, that Keuchel gets an opportunity with the Twins in the coming weeks. Bottom line, he had a chance to opt out of his deal on Friday, and he did not. Jorge Polanco playing some third base for the Saints. He is still a good at least week away from rejoining the Twins, coming back from that hamstring injury. But the idea is when he does rejoin the Twins, maybe early August, that he can play some third base. That Edward Julian has been so good, you're not moving him off second base. Now, as Rocco Baldelli told me on Friday, hey, it doesn't mean that Polanco will play exclusively at third. He can also play some second, but they want him to get reps with the Saints at third base. So that is interesting. Injury updates on Brock Stewart, Caleb Thielbar. Both guys are throwing bullpens. Both guys are progressing. Both guys should be back in the Twins bullpen in August. Both will be very much welcomed back. Both guys definitely missed. Stewart closer than Thielbar. Thielbar undoubtedly will need a rehab assignment. Stewart to be determined. But at this point, now that he's been out a good, three-ish weeks, It wouldn't be shocking if Stewart also has a tiny rehab stint. All right, so the trade deadline is approaching. The Twins on the lookout for a right-handed bat and a reliever, even with Stewart and Thielbar coming back. Don't forget that character matters. Tommy Pham, outfielder for the Mets, that's a popular name in the rumor mill. And I'm not suggesting he's not on the Twins' radar. And, you know, hey, he may check out okay, but there are some character red flags with Tommy Pham. Why I say that is a reminder, if you didn't hear it from a previous Scoop podcast, the Twins were not willing to go all in on Aroldis Chapman before the Royals moved him to Texas. Some character red flags. How would he fit in the clubhouse? And the Twins did check in with the Royals. There was some interest in Chapman, but I'm just saying the Twins were not willing to go all in on any sort of offer for Chapman because of some character concerns. The Walker Jenkins signing deadline is Tuesday at 4 o'clock, July 25th at 4 o'clock Central, 5 Eastern. I would say if there's not a deal reached by like lunchtime on Tuesday, then worry. My understanding is the Twins are willing to pay him at least the slot. The slot is like $7.1 million for pick number 5. His representation is Scott Boras. Now, the Twins have a good relationship with Scott. He represents who on the Twins? Well, hey, Austin Martin, Royce Lewis, Alex Kirilloff, Ryan Jeffers, and of course, Carlos Correa. So the Twins have a good working relationship with Scott, but Scott does have a history with some of these draft picks for dragging it on and on and on. Now, the Twins could go as high as like 7-7 or 7-8 if they want to. I don't know the answer if the Twins are willing to go that high, but my understanding is the Twins are willing to pay him the slot. The Twins are still planning as if they are going to sign Walker Jenkins by that 4 o'clock Tuesday deadline. The Timberwolves have hired Roger Mason Jr., former NBA player, as a consultant. Former NBA player Alonzo G remains in the front office for the Wolves as an operations assistant. A new team in on former Wolf free agent Jalen Noel. No, he is not coming back to the Wolves. There's a mutual understanding that, hey, time for Jalen to move on. But here's a new team in on Jalen Noel, the Dallas Mavericks. Now, they need to create some roster flexibility. They are looking into doing some stuff, is the word. And it may not come to fruition, but Jalen Noel is on Dallas's radar. The Noel camp is still also awaiting finality on the Damian Lillard situation. Will Lillard end up in Miami or perhaps Philadelphia? When he does, that organization will likely have a roster opening or two. So the Noel camp is letting things play out. In case you missed it, Nate Knight, the former Timberwolf, on his way to the New York Knicks, the Gersan Rosas influence, on his way to the Knicks. It's a one-year, two-way contract. Ran into Austin Hollins the other day, the former Gopher. He is rehabbing a patellar tendon injury. He's feeling pretty darn good. He parted ways with Maccabi Tel Aviv, so he is now a free agent. Want to give some love to Jake Irvin of Bloomington, my guy. He was excellent on Friday night in a win over the Giants. Starting pitcher for the Washington Nationals, threw a career-high 111 pitches, had a career-high 9 strikeouts. On the Vikings, well, former Vikings, Everson Griffin, wishing him all the best. Not good news. He was arrested on Saturday in Chanhassen for driving under the influence early Saturday afternoon. Thankfully, nobody was injured. But I say I wish Everson all the best. He has dealt with so much in his life. I hope he gets the help that he needs. Jordan Addison. All right. Like 140 down 94. Like, I know he hasn't been here a long time, but if you're going to go 140, 94, like of all places, like how could you be that idiotic to go 140 at 94 and Dale? He's 21. I am not going to suggest he should be cut, anything crazy, but hey, it's a check, right? 3 strikes and you're out. Let's just say this is the first strike. It just can't happen. Now, thankfully, he wasn't drunk. He wasn't high, and nobody was hurt. All right, but clearly he needs to realize you can't do something that moronic, especially at 3 in the morning. From a physical standpoint, my understanding is he is feeling good. Now, whether the Vikings start him for a day or two on the PUP list, you can come off whenever. We should be seeing him on the field here pretty darn quick. He missed the mandatory minicamp with an undisclosed injury. The latest on Danielle Hunter. I continue to hear the Vikings want Danielle Hunter on their roster for 2023. Brian Flores absolutely wants to coach Danielle Hunter. That the Vikings are willing to give Danielle a sizable pay bump up for 2023. That there's still some haggling for money guaranteed beyond 2023. So I don't know the end result, how it's going to play out. I will be very surprised if Danielle Hunter is on the field on Wednesday, if the situation has not been resolved. If he's not on the field, he is subject to a daily $50,000 fine. So if you miss a day of training camp, you are fined $50,000 if it's an unexcused absence. But the Vikings are willing to give him, my understanding is, a nice pay raise here for 2023. I'm asked a lot, what's up with TJ Hockenson? What's up with Justin Jefferson? Nothing new on my end to report. Clearly, the Vikings want to extend both. Now, they do have the franchise tag in their back pocket for Hockenson. It's not unreasonable for a tight end, but they would like to get both guys extended. No doubt about that. All right, let's now transition to the interview portion of Scoop Podcast episode 422. We begin with Vikings hybrid defender. He's not really just a safety. He can play some linebacker. He can play some nickel. I was in the gym the other day with Josh Metellus. Big year for Josh, contract year, entering his fourth year. The Vikings drafted him in 2020 in the sixth round. He is going to get used a bunch in Brian Flores' defense. Here is my conversation with Josh Metellus. Josh, the groundwork you're laying now, like early July, mid-July, how much does that help you those first few days of training camp, especially when the pads come on?
I think it helps a lot in this profession. I think you're expected to hit the ground running, and there's no like incline period. Like, you know, first day of camp, we play one of the earliest preseason games too this year. So, you know, you got to be coming into camp ready to go. So I think, you know, these days they really go a long way, because once camp comes and we out on the grass and you got that helmet on, you know, these are the things that, you know, you lean on.
What's it like working with Bill Welly, one of my guys?
Oh, he's great. I think he does a lot of great stuff, a lot of stuff that translates to the football field. He's great at pushing me, and I think, you know, that was a big decision I made this offseason to stay here and work out with him, and it's really paying off.
Why did you make that decision?
I think just being in a contract year, I thought it, you know, it'd be nice to just be around the city, be around the state, be around the facility as much as I can. You never know what can happen. And, you know, me and my wife, we bought a house out here last year. So, you know, if this happens to be my last year, which I hope is not, you know, it's nice to say that we spent some good quality time out here. You know, we got to experience it and embrace it as much as we can.
Well, expand on that. How big of a year is this for you?
I think it's my biggest year yet. But I think, you know, I go into every year with that kind of mindset, so it's not that much pressure on me. I think, you know, just me being able to play football the way I want to is just, you know, on my head. Like, you know, I want to be able to help the team win. I want to be out there on the field to help the guys. You know, I want to lead them in battle. I want to lead them in the war, you know. So I just think, you know, being able to go out there and just treat this season like I've treated every other season, you know, I think that'll just help me.
Are you doing different things, though, like this stretch or this off season to prepare for what presumably is a much bigger role?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing I've been working on is my conditioning. You know, playing special teams primarily the past 3 years, you know, you don't get that conditioning up as much as you do playing 80 snaps a game. So I think, you know, especially going into this summer, Coach DJ and B-Flo, you know, told me, you know, be as conditioned as possible, because I'm going to have to play a lot of snaps this year. So I think just being able to be able to keep my wind and, you know, be able to go 100% all the time is going to really help me. So I've been running 5-6 in the morning, running 3 miles a day for the past 6 weeks. I just posted on my Instagram, I hit 25K this month. And I was like, I never thought I'd be that guy to be running long distance, or, you know, just trying to get my heart rate up, trying to find ways to condition that, the Peloton, doing this, you know, just trying to find ways to keep my conditioning up so that way when I get out on the field, even though you can't, like, really, you know, match that without playing football, you know, I'm trying to do anything.
And Pilates?
Yeah, Pilates. I got Pilates today at 2 with CJ Ham and Blake Cashman. Yeah, Pilates, I think that's been my real focus this offseason, is getting my core stronger. You know, this is the center of everything. So you get this strong, everything else going to follow. So I think, yeah, Pilates has really helped me. I think Denise is a great instructor, and she's really really helped me this season.
Nutrition, I mean, about the same, or any even tweaks with nutrition?
I would say nutrition is about the same. I think I do really good with my weight. Right now I'm perfect where I need to be, where they want me to be. So, you know, it's just all about maintaining. I've been trying a couple new things. Previously, I've been doing intermittent fasting past couple years. This year, I kind of upped it and been fasting a little bit more than I have in the past years. Only because, you know, I just think it's, you know, kind of a mental, physical discipline thing. You know, I think it helps me keep my mind together. It helps me shape my body the way I want to. And, you know, it's just a test. You know, I like being tested.
So what are you fasting? So do you eat like 6-7 o'clock at night, and then don't eat for like until lunchtime the next day?
So the goal when I first started it was to go 36 hours straight. And so far I haven't got 36. The longest I've gone like 24 hours the past like week and a half, 2 weeks. I've been working up to that. It was 16 when I first started earlier in the summer, and now I'm about 24. So I'll eat the same time every day and won't eat again. But it's easier than it sounds. Trust me. I've been doing a lot of research about it. You know what helps and what doesn't. So yeah, I've been doing, you know, as much as I can with it. You know, obviously I still got to feel my body the right way, because I do a lot more than you know, the average person. Like, I'm working out, I got to feel my muscles, you know, kind of thing. But I think it definitely helps me.
All right, so I'm fascinated by this. So what time did you eat today, or are you still eating today? And then you won't eat again until tomorrow at that same time?
I won't eat till dinner. So I didn't. Last time I ate was last night dinner, and I won't eat again till dinner today.
And just water then in between?
Water, and I throw a little salt in my water. It helps subside the hunger, give me electrolytes. And I think that alone, and with working out, it like gets my mind off being hungry. I think the salt water really helps, though, like Himalayan pink salt, or just any like real salt, not just like the ones you find at like Target or Whole Foods, something like that. But like some real salt and a little bit in your water, that helps subside the hunger and give you electrolytes. And that's all you really need. And everything else works itself out. I think it's a great mental challenge.
Yeah, I mean, holy crap. I mean, little lemon too in the water, like little lemon water?
Little lemon water. I'm mainly like a just straight water kind of guy. Like straight, like I drink nothing else but water. It's kind of crazy. I literally don't drink anything else.
I mean, so like not even black coffee or tea or anything?
So I just recently picked up espresso, but it's not like a everyday thing. It's just like a day where I'm not. Like if I wake up at 5:30 and I'm not feeling how I want to feel, you know, I might have one when my wife has one. But other than that, I'm really just water all the time.
Is it a balancing act, though, of making sure? I mean, you said you did all this extensive research of not overdoing it to make sure, okay, you're getting up at 5, 6 a.m. and running these long distances, but that it will ultimately pay off?
Yeah, I think just it's just all about knowing your body. You know, obviously I've been working out and taking care of my body for a long while now. So I think I know when my body's at its peak and when it's not. So if I ever feel like, certain days, like I remember a day last week, I came in here and I was fasting. I woke up in the morning, I ran, and we were doing a warm-up, and I just wasn't feeling, you know, 100. So I just walked over there, grabbed an apple, ended my fast for the day, ate the apple, was perfect for the workout, you know, good for the rest of the day kind of thing. You know, it's just all about knowing your body, knowing your limits. You know, you obviously don't want to push yourself too hard because, you know, your body's your moneymaker. So it's just all about knowing yourself.
Tell me about the coin. So you sort of told us over there, but elaborate on the importance of the coin.
So random, Brian Asamoah got us these coins. It says, be violent first on one side. It shows a head and bones on the other side. I didn't really ask too much questions. He just gave it to me. I'm like, okay, you know, he was rookie at the time, you know. I honestly don't know why he gave it. But I had it. I held it for a couple of days during the season when he gave it to me. Then I ended up leaving it into the drawer. And this past offseason, I don't know what made me pick it up, but I just picked it up and looked at it. And I was like, you know, this is a mindset I just need, you know, especially in the role I plan on being in this year, you know, just being, you know, in the center of everything, you know, being just playing defense alone. You know, it's just all about being violent and being being the aggressor. So, you know, I think, you know, that's really what our defense is going to entail this year, you know, being aggressive and having that mindset. And I think it all starts with training and how you just approach things. So, you know, as much as, you know, it says be violent first, you know, it doesn't really mean too much things other than being violent in between those lines. And that's what, you know, the goal is for this year.
Okay, so when you're running with it. When you're lifting, just you always have that in your possession?
I'm kind of a fidget guy, you know, like fidget toys, Rubik's cubes kind of guy. Like, so I'm used to always having something in my hand. So I literally picked it up to try to learn how to do this, like, you know, in between the fingers kind of thing. But then, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, it's kind of something that I just want to resonate with, you know, and, you know, kind of live this mindset and mentality. So, you know, it's kind of just like something that's like part of me, you know, in a way. And I literally texted him 2 days ago. I was like, where'd you get these coins from? Like, I need to know, like, I want more. How can I do it? So my wife ordered me like a Vikings kind of one, you know? So I'm just going to have a bunch of these, just holding them around, you know, just resonating with them kind of thing. You know, I don't know, just.
So what did he tell you? Where did he get them from?
He got, so his, one of his neighbors was a retired Army guy. He moved from that community now. But he just gave him a bunch of them. So then he went that next day and gave him out to the team. I'm surprised he gave me one. He probably seen the tape and, you know, seen that I was a violent guy. So he thought it went really well with me. But, yeah, he said he has a couple more, and I'm going to see when he gets back and see what else he has for me.
And the Rubik's Cube, can you solve a Rubik's Cube in like two minutes, one minute?
Less than 2 minutes. I said my, like, range, like, at my peak, it was about, like, 130. My freshman year in college, I got a Rubik's Cube for Christmas. We were in the Orange Bowl, and my mom brought it over to the hotel. We were staying at the hotel playing in the Orange Bowl, playing Dalvin Cook that week. My first start, actually, too. And I was like, it's the goal. By the time we get back and go to Michigan, I got to learn how to do the Rubik's Cube. So I was literally staying up all night. I remember my roommate, he probably hated me. He was like, you know, vet. He was older guy, vet, you know, very like strict guy. He in the bed, 9 o'clock. All you hear is me in the corner. But yeah, I ended up figuring out how to do it now. I still do it to this day. I have one in my car. I have one in my bag. So I like Rubik's Cube. I like things like that. Just using my hands, fidget kind of thing. Keeps my mind still.
You go to YouTube at all? I go to YouTube all the time. My younger son's obsessed with Rubik's Cubes.
I started off on YouTube. But YouTube didn't get me that far. Like, it got me, like, the first half, and then the rest of it was just, like, trial and error kind of thing. I kept trying the YouTube thing. It just wasn't, I don't know. But I ended up figuring it out, and I think I have a little rhythm. I need to go back on YouTube to figure out how to do it faster, though, because 1 minute and 30, that's not, I seen it. The guy just broke the world record in, like, under, like, second. Yeah, second. Like, crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. Once you like, yeah. Once you get it, it's definitely easy to learn. But 1:30 is like my peak right now.
That's still pretty impressive. All right. Expound on what your role is going to look like, because I'm trying to figure it out. I mean, we saw snippets of maybe what it'll look like OTA's mini camp, but it all changes when the pads come on.
I think for one, that's a big question to ask B Flow, but I think, you know, my role is just fit in where they want me. I think, you know, just me being able to soak up the whole defense and me being able to be a versatile guy, I think helps me a lot. And it's going to help us a lot, you know, coming in, you know, whoever we're playing. If we need a guy to do this, you know, I'm that guy. If we need a guy to do that, I'm that guy. So I think just me being able to play different spots. I played nickel in the game. I played linebacker in the game, and I played safety in the game. And I think I can excel really well, you know, at just being a football player. You know, I would say, I told my wife, they need to change my position and just put football player. I just think I'm a heck of a football player. And I think B Flow understands that, and he's just going to put me in positions to succeed. So I can't even really tell you what role I'm going to be in, but I can tell you that he has a plan, and I think it's going to really help the team.
Just the most excited you've been heading into a training camp year four compared to, I mean, I imagine, well, year one was COVID, so that was weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
But like, of the four, you know, this time of the year, of the four heading in, like, would this be the most excited you've been?
Yeah, I would say just early, I think after I like grieved over that Giants loss. I don't know, once I started, like, training again in early March and stuff like that, I just, like, I looked over to my wife and I just had a feeling, like, and I've only got this feeling, you know, a couple other times. One time was in high school, my senior year, played one of my best years, we won a state championship. And I don't know, I just have a feeling like this is just going to be the best year of football I played in my life. Like, you know, not even just in a league, in college, little league, like, just in my life. You know, I think just I'm hitting my peak, and, you know, every year I just pride myself on getting better and better. And I think this year is going to be one of those years where I really make a statement for myself and I really put the world on notice.
What else is important to know as we tell your pre-training camp story?
Important to know, just that I'm a team guy, man. I think at the end of the day, like, whatever the team needs to win, I think that's what I buy into. And that's just how I always been, you know, getting honors like being the captain, you know, those things hold really high you know, for me, like those things that I want to do and want to achieve, you know, more than anything. You know, I could care less about my stats if, you know, I'm not being a leader in the locker room. I'm not being a leader to the young DBs, you know. I'm not being a leader to anybody. You know, I pride myself on being that guy, you know, you can look up to and you can follow to do the right thing, because at the end of the day, you know, it's a lot of stuff off the field that you need, you know, then a lot of stuff that you need on the field. So I just think I'm a team guy through and through. And whatever the team needs, I'm going to be able to do.
Two more. Did you watch the ESPYs last night? Did you see Justin win the award?
Yeah, I literally retweeted the tweet that the Vikings posted today. But, yeah, I mean, he deserves everything and more. You know, I still think he's underappreciated because he does a lot and he's really good. And, you know, it's good to see him getting that recognition. And, you know, if they thought he was good last year, I think he's going to be even better this year.
How much would you like to see Danielle Hunter back in purple? We don't know how it's going to play out, but I imagine you want him being in front of you. Yeah. Whatever position you're playing, linebacker, safety, nickel, whatever it is, you want to see Danielle out there.
Yeah, I really want to see him out there. You know, a guy like him makes your job easier, especially being on the second level or third level. So, you know, a guy like him really changes the game. And, you know, we need a guy like him, you know, that presence in a locker room. You know, he's a quiet guy, but he leads by example. And you always feel his presence. So whether he's walking through the hallway with his big shoulders, big arms, veins popping through, or he on the field working on his technique, you know, he just brings that extra oomph, you know, and I think we need that. You know, he's a guy, you know, you lean on Sundays. I remember every game I played, you know, him having him out there made my job a lot easier than it would be if he wasn't. So, you know, I think it'll be really good to have him back. You know, I think a lot of the younger guys on the team really want him back, you know, so they can excel their game. So, you know, I think it'll be really good for him to be back on his team.
So the schedule of events this week: Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, and a player or two or three will meet with reporters on Tuesday. Then the first day that we get access, the first day of full squad workouts, is Wednesday. Now, it really doesn't ramp up until Monday the 31st. That's when the pads come on. Fans start coming on Saturday. So there's like this grace period, practices, but like OTAs and minicamp, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even Saturday. It's really Monday the 31st when things ramp up. All right, let's now transition to some hockey conversations. Let's begin with Gophers forward. He was St. Louis's first-round pick a year ago. Heck, he could have turned pro this summer. He has chosen to come back for a second year with the Gophers. Here is my conversation recently with Jimmy Snuggerud.
Jimmy, Jack was just telling me that even in just a short amount of time this spring into the summer, that he thinks your skating has improved a ton. Would you agree with his assessment?
I think maybe. I mean, Jack's assessments are usually dot on with the things he says, but I mean, he's contributed a lot to my skating so far this summer, and I've seen some improvements, and you know, we're only halfway through, so still got a long ways to go.
Can you see, though, like even going back to last summer, you've worked with Jack going back any number of years, like do you see the progress, like the work you put in now, it then translates come the winter time?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially this year with the players I was fortunate enough to practice against and have that speed work in practice that we use, it just comes right off into the summer. And even like Jack tells me every day how fortunate I was to, you know, play against those guys. And we use the same drills out here, so to use that speed, it kind of just towels off.
You understand all the science behind everything he's doing, wearing the vest and everything?
No, not a lot of it, honestly. But, I mean, we all put a lot of trust in him. But, I mean, the things he says kind of are pretty confusing at times. But, I mean, we all get it to a certain extent. It's all smart stuff. I mean, he's a smart guy, so.
How long do you guys go back?
Pretty far. I mean, he goes back with my father, even. And my father introduced him to me when I was probably 13 years old. So, you know, 5 or 6 years now, it's getting to be a long time. And, you know, Jack's been there for me. You know, he texts me after every game and stuff. So, I mean, it's pretty cool to have that relationship with him.
How amazing has the last year been? Like, you think about everything that's taken place. If we go back to, like, mid-June last year to now, like, think about everything that's happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy just, you know, seeing the draft come up tonight. And last year at this time, I was going through the same stuff. And, you know, the nerves were through the roof. And to just see these guys going through the process, you know, teammates like Oliver Moore, it's pretty cool to just kind of watch them and see where he goes tonight. Hopefully at 10 to the Blues, but I mean, I guess we'll see. It's just, it's so cool to, you know, grow with these players and see what, you know, all the guys out here have done throughout the past year too.
And I just think about your outstanding year with the Gophers, your success with Team USA. Like, a lot has happened in the last year.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, see where I'm at last year for myself. I mean, I reached goals that I didn't even expect, and to be doing it with the guys that I was playing with, it's pretty unreal. I mean, to see those guys grow with me too, it was a really cool season.
Was there any one welcome to college hockey moment? Is there anything that sticks out to you, maybe early in the season, or maybe it happened middle of the season, something that jumps out when I bring that up?
Yeah, I think maybe the Mankato series kind of jumps out. I think just those two games are really cool, and the guys who brought me in throughout early in the season, big helpers like Matthew Nyes and Brock Faber. I mean, those guys were right with me throughout the way, kind of leading me into my freshman season. And I spent a lot of time with them, and they helped a lot of other guys too.
So you brought up Oliver Moore's name. Do you think about the possibility of maybe a line of you, Logan, and Oliver?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty cool, honestly, just to him to jump into Nyes' spot. I mean, it's a big role, but he's a big player. He's super speedy. He's got what it takes to, you know, be a real good player. But, I mean, I guess we'll see, and, you know, we're looking forward to it a lot.
Why was it important for you to come back for your second year with the Gophers?
Yeah, I mean, I think most importantly is try to win that national championship. Obviously, we came up short, and we all learned from it a lot. I think just the guys we have coming back and the extent of what, you know, our older guys like Nelson, Brodzinski, and Close can bring to the table back for another year, and the freshmen coming in with Angel Moore, Rudd, and those guys, it's really cool to see what we have this year, and, you know, I can see a possible run again.
Yeah, I mean, so could I. I mean, is it hard not to drift ahead to, like, April and XL Energy Center?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy, too, but, I mean, college is a really fun time. Just kind of living in the present and playing a game by game is something that we need to do, and we did as a team this year, and obviously it came up short, but, I mean, having the Frozen Four in Minnesota this year it'll be really cool to be there if we do, and, you know, we're all looking forward to it.
So what are the points of emphasis you have this summer as you head into your second year with the Gophers? Where do you need to improve?
Yeah, I think obviously I need to improve a lot of places, skating being one of them. That's why we're out here every day. And, you know, another thing is just edge work. I think that Jack has kind of focused a lot more on edge work this year and doing things in small areas, whereas I think I increased my large ice speed, whereas this year I need to be better in corners and things like that.
What else stands out about your first year as you reflect on your first year?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some certain things that I really excelled on and some things that I didn't. I think just kind of playing with Nyes and Cools obviously helped me really a lot, and having a defensive core that we did as a team, I think we struck in a lot of great areas. And, you know, for me, I think just kind of when they got me the puck, I think I improved on my shot a lot because they got me the puck a lot, and just kind of shooting from all different areas of the ice kind of helped me improve throughout the year. And, you know, the things that, you know, we did away from the ice as players and as a team kind of improved our team chemistry a lot.
You enjoy the spotlight? I mean, you're a fan favorite. I mean, I would imagine more people are recognizing you now compared to even a year ago. Do you welcome that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it comes and it comes. I think I enjoy being away from it just as much as I enjoy here. I just think kind of being the present, being where your feet are is something that's pretty huge. And, you know, if the camera shines, then it does. And if it doesn't, then, you know, I'm just away with my buddies, always doing kind of my own thing.
Matt, you got anything?
You know, you're skating with Mike today. Yeah. How is he handling, you know, going into next season, he's going to be, like, one of, if not the biggest leader for the defense.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike is, I mean, he's a strong leader already to me. He's kind of already brought some of the freshmen in. I think Sam Renzel and him have gotten really close. I mean, we were just at his house yesterday eating breakfast. So, I mean, the leader that Mikey is really shows. And, you know, he's been a leader for 3 years, even if he doesn't have a letter. But, I mean, this year, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think Mikey would be a great leader on our team, and he proves it already.
You and Mike are both from Chaska. And Renzel and Reuter are also from Chaska, correct? So, like, talk about this Chaska pipeline. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see where guys come from. Even Pitlick, too, is from Chaska. I think just kind of how we grow as a community is really cool, and the players that they've formed out of Chaska, it proves how the association is as a unit in baseball, too. I think just kind of having that home field and that.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Jack that Jimmy was referring to is his trainer, Jack Blatherwick. Lester Petrick Award winner 2019 for his service to hockey. He's worked for who? The Capitals, the Rangers, the Gophers. He was the trainer for the 1980 U.S. Olympic team. Jack is still going strong at his age. He won't even tell me his age. It's like young 80s, late 70s. He can't even really put his skates on anymore. He's out on the ice in broomball shoes. Jack Blatherwick is a freaking legend when it comes to the world of hockey. Jack Blatherwick, as good as it gets for training on ice and off ice. I had a chance to also catch up with Jack when I was in Jimmy's presence. Here is that conversation with Jack Blatherwick.
Jack, how much joy do you get? I mean, it's early morning, yet it seems like you get as much joy out of here as the kids do.
Well, it's the reason I do it. It's phenomenal to watch kids work that hard and improve. Jimmy Snuggerud has improved so much this summer, it's almost hard to believe that somebody that age would improve that amount. I mean, you can see little kids improving day after day, but he has, it's just his skating has gotten so good, it's amazing.
I mean, the St. Louis Blues have to be very excited hearing that.
When they see him next week, they're going to be shocked, because I think they overlook the fact that he hasn't been a great skater. That's not been his greatest asset. It's his mind and his stick skills and his ability to make plays with other people. I remember the GM for St. Louis saying when they asked him why they took him as higher than some other teams had him rated, and he says, he has a tendency to make anybody he's playing with better. Well, we saw it this last year with Cooley. Cooley makes him better. Jimmy makes Cooley better. And they're a perfect example of what Herb Brooks used to call interdependence. Just the opposite of independence. Interdependence, the two of them together, you know, the result is much better than what either one of them could accomplish on their own.
So Jimmy has another level, like, because he was so good last year with the Gophers. You just touched on the synergy with Logan. But you think based on the work he's putting in now, we'll see even another level?
Well, the work he put in last year, too. He's a better skater this spring than he was the year before. They didn't do that at the USA camp. He came back, I think, not skating as well as when he went out. It's a huge weakness in their program. They have a great program because the competition is great. And probably the practices teach a lot, but they don't work on skating. And he would come back not skating as well as he did the last summer. This year, skating with the Gophers, his skating improved a lot. So it's not just this summer, but this summer you can see it every day, just like you would see in a six-year-old kid that's just learning. That's how fast he's improving.
So when they have the vests on, how much do those vests weigh? What's the science behind that?
It's about 10% of their body weight, and it's good you asked that question, because guys who have done this with us before thought they could coach, you know, eight-year-old kids and put a vest on them, and if it affects their skating at all negatively, it'd be like putting a little weight on your golf club and swinging at balls. If you did that, your nervous system is learning the wrong things. If we put too much weight on and they skate poorly as a result, if you can see any negative effect at all, it's a bad deal. And that's happened a little bit with kids. Like when I coached at Minnesota, we did it all the time for 8 years. Those guys go off and they coach youth players, and they think they should put them on. The fact is, with experienced players, it shouldn't weigh more than about 10% of body weight, but it shouldn't be done with real young kids. Like I would say, under puberty, their skating stride has to be established, because if their nervous system adjusts to that weight, that's going to be a little bit different stride than it would be without it. The second thing is, you notice that we had them on for a while in the middle of practice and then took them off, and I have them take their helmets off too, which obviously you can't do in youth hockey. But I don't have anything to sue for, so I don't care if they got hurt. But the reality is they're probably going to skate faster after taking the vest off than they ever have before. There's actually been tests to show that with pro hockey players in England. And so I have them take the helmet off so they can actually feel faster. It probably doesn't make them faster, but taking the vest off and not wearing shoulder pads, they're probably skating faster than they ever have before.
What's the science behind just the 10 seconds of rest between sets, right? I mean, it's a very limited amount of time of rest.
Yeah, it's limited, but it's enough that the rest should be, if it's working perfectly, it should be enough to do the next interval perfectly, but not too much so that they lose the endurance quality in the whole workout. So by the end of the, no one drill by itself would be called an endurance drill, but the sum of all of them in 60 minutes is what endurance is in hockey. We've been slow to recognize that the people who should have defined endurance all along in hockey are the hockey people, the coaches and players. But instead, we've asked scientists like myself, right? Like, well, we take them in the lab, put them on a treadmill, do things that they don't do on the ice, and we say that's endurance for hockey. They do it at the combine still, put them on a treadmill and measure max VO2. When in fact, if you ask a hockey coach and he wasn't intimidated into trying to use Greek language, he might say, well, you're in shape if you skate just as fast at the end of the game as you do at the beginning. That would have been simple. But everybody thinks they got to put words like aerobic and anaerobic into the discussion. So for 50 years, we've been off on the wrong direction. We should have just asked hockey coaches, what does endurance mean?
I'll leave you with this. What you do today, is it just all-encompassing when I think about you being honored a few years ago with the Lester Patrick, your service to hockey? Is it just all-encompassing, and this is an example of that?
Well, first of all, I was no more deserving of an award than anybody else. It's one of those things they give to you when you get old. So I just accept that on behalf of all the volunteer coaches out there in the country that don't get the award. I get it because I worked with Herb Brooks and some pro teams and whatever. I'm honored. It was a nice thing, but I certainly feel I don't deserve it any more than anybody that's coaching kids. It's, to me, the honor is being able to be out there, watch guys work this hard and improve this fast. That's what honors me.
How old are you now?
I'm in my 80s.
Oh. How long do you want to keep doing this?
Well, now that I use broomball shoes and don't try and skate, I'll do it as long as I can stand up.
There is a possibility, heck, Bob Motzko has alluded to this summer, that he'll play on a line Logan Cooley, Jimmy Snuggerud, and Oliver Moore. So Matthew Nyes moving on to the NHL with Toronto. Nyes played on that line last year with Snuggerud and Cooley. It was so good. Moore, Chicago's second first-round pick last month. They took Connor Bedard first overall, then got Oliver Moore 19th. They had Oliver Moore way higher than 19 on their board. They feel like they have a steal with the Gophers incoming forward. I was with Oliver recently at a training session in South St. Paul. He was working with Chaz Lucius, the former Gopher, Winnipeg's first-round pick in 2021. Here is my conversation reviewing the draft happenings, going to the Chicago Blackhawks pick 19, my recent conversation with Oliver Moore.
Oliver, let's just start with the work that you're getting in here. What are some points of emphasis in the summer when you're on the rink?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just maintaining good habits in the off season, and I think a big part of what I'm doing right now is just working on goal scoring, getting a little competitive with guys, and just trying to work on my goal scoring and all areas of my game, honestly, just trying to get better.
Does it feel more real that you're going to be a University of Minnesota student, a Gopher, after going through orientation earlier this week?
Yeah, it does a little bit for sure. I got to know some of the students and obviously the staff. I got a good feel for my schedule and kind of everything that's going to be going on next year. So I'm really excited for that. And to be a Gopher next season is going to be special.
Still a whirlwind, though, considering everything that's taken place the last couple weeks. Then it feeds into juniors camp next week. Like, everything is happening so fast.
Yeah, I think I've taken a lot of time kind of though to reflect with my family about everything that's going on in these last couple of weeks. And it's definitely a whirlwind, but it's all so exciting. And I'm just so happy to be able to be going through this process with my family and with the people that are around me. So it's been really cool.
Take me back to that Wednesday night draft night when you heard that your name would be selected by Chicago. Take me back to that moment.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I think everyone kind of blacked out during it. I think a lot of guys did for sure, but just to kind of take that night with my family, meet obviously the prospects that were going there last week in Chicago, it was an awesome experience, and I'm just excited to kind of get going with the Chicago Blackhawks and that whole organization. They have a lot going for them, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, I mean, as the draft is unfolding, and I think you went a little bit later than some of us thought, but considering the situation you're now in, did it work out for the best?
Oh, for sure. I think, you know, God has a plan for everyone, and I think that, you know, I was able to go to an organization that wants me, and they're really excited to have me, and I'm really excited to be a part of the Chicago Blackhawks as well, being in Chicago, and obviously the history of that franchise and the fan base, it's unbelievable, so I'm just really excited for that.
What stood out when you were at prospects camp?
I think just the prospects that they brought in, I think all of them want to get better, all of them were there to learn, and I think when you have an environment like that, it's definitely really special. Everyone gets better from it, and I think that's the most important thing that I learned, but also just how many resources that the Chicago Blackhawks have, and obviously just the support of their fans last week was unbelievable. So,
I think about Sam too, right? That connection, yeah. That Gophers connection, how cool is that?
For sure, it's so cool. I'm actually going to be roommates with him next year too at University of Minnesota. So, I mean, I remember kind of when it hit me that he was going to also, he was a Blackhawk after, and I texted him right away. I was like, let's go. It was awesome. So, yeah, I mean, he's a great guy, great player, and I'm excited for next year with him and probably be playing together for the next couple years at least. So,
and then Bedard too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy as well. I mean, obviously first overall pick, special talent, and getting to know him has been really cool as well.
What else has stood out about the last few weeks? I mean, as you soak it all in, what else should people know?
I just think that, you know, the support you get from the people around you, it's important to know that and to know that you have that support. I think I've gotten a lot of support from my family, you know, my friends. It's made me realize that it's not just a one-man army, that like you have a lot of people that help you get to this place. And, yeah, I'm just really fortunate to have those people and continue to build here going into next year.
Okay, and then so you head to juniors camp next week, and so Jimmy will be there. Any other Gopher teammates?
Yeah, I think Jimmy, Ryan Chesley is going to be there as well. Obviously, Sam Renzel. So I think we got a couple guys. I don't know if I'm missing anyone, but a couple guys there, and I've got a chance to talk to them a little bit about it too. And I think they're all excited for it, and, yeah, it'll be cool.
You're thinking more and more. I asked you about this pre-draft, but the possibility, Motzko's brought this up, of a line with you, Jimmy, and Logan?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely thought about that a little bit, and I think that they're two really special players, and if we get the opportunity to play with them, it'd be obviously really, really special, but I think that anywhere they put me, I'm just excited to be a Golden Gopher and play for that college and try to win a national championship next year.
Oliver has told me in the past, not this conversation, but he likes to model his game after Larkin from the Red Wings. Is it Dylan Larkin? I'm testing my hockey knowledge. I believe it's Dylan Larkin. Good player for the Detroit Red Wings. That is a player that Oliver likes to model his game after. All right, let's now transition to the final conversation here on Scoop Podcast episode 422. I was in the gym the other day at Totino Grace High School. I caught up with class of 2024 forward. It is Isaiah Johnson Origu. In the last month, he has picked up Power 5 offers from Arizona State, Northwestern, Iowa, Texas Tech. It's a lengthy list. Now, the Gophers don't have any scholarship openings right now for the class of 2024, so they have not hopped in on Isaiah, but a number of high majors. Butler wants him. Xavier wants him. He'll go through the list in this conversation. So he is one of the fastest rising players in the class of 2024 in the entire country. 6'7" forward, weighs around 190, 195, 200 pounds, incredible hops. And he's got these big hands. He can do a lot on the basketball court. Here's my recent conversation on recruiting blowing up for him. It is Isaiah Johnson Origu.
Isaiah, how crazy has this summer been for you?
It's been wild. It's definitely a surprise I'm getting all these offers, but I feel like my hard work is paying off for sure.
Yeah, I mean, why is it surprising? Because you know the work you've put in, the work you've done on the court, off the court to be in this position. So why is it surprising?
I'd probably just say, like, the amount of offers I'm getting is kind of crazy to me, especially, like, the really good schools. But, like, I put in the work every day, like, 3 workouts a day, working out with teammates, after-hours work. But it's definitely surprising, but, like, I feel like it's deserved for sure.
How much better have you gotten if we go back even 6 months or, like, a year? If we go back to July of last year, how much better of a player are you today compared to a year ago?
I feel like 100% better because, like, my motto is, like, get 1% better every day and just, like, working every day to get 1% better, 3 workouts a day. As long as I'm getting better every day, that's all that matters. And even, like, from the state tournament, like, I feel like I've gotten a lot better because I put in so much work.
What position are you mainly?
Small forward.
But is the beauty of your game that you have versatility, that you can play multiple positions?
Yeah, that's my brand, is, like, the versatility aspect. Like, I can guard the 1-4, play the 1-4 offensively and defensively. So that's what the college is really like.
Are you still growing?
Yeah, I think I'm still growing. I grew an inch since this past high school season, so now I'm 6'7".
Got it. So, okay, so in the growth plates, last time you were at the doctor, did the doctor tell you, hey, you still might have a little bit to go?
Yeah, still open.
All right. And so in terms of weight, do you still want to put on a little weight before you head to college in a year?
Yeah, I was told I had to put on a little bit of weight, but I'm already like 215. So a lot of the coaches say I'm like college ready, but I feel like I put on a lot more weight.
Is it overwhelming at all, getting offer after offer? I mean, it seems like you have a new offer every single day.
Yeah, it's a little bit overwhelming, but like just narrowing it down is going to be the hardest part for like the top 6, top 5, whatever I choose. But it's very fun for sure. Like, and it feels really good to get all these offers.
Who has offered you? Are you able to keep track of every school that has offered you?
I am, but like it's going to take me a lot to try to remember for sure.
Okay, but like Iowa, Northwestern, yeah. Texas Tech, are those some of the main ones?
Yeah, some of the main ones. And then Miami, Yale, Butler, Xavier, Virginia Tech. Like, it's a lot for sure.
You say Yale. How cool is that? Like, that to me would be so cool to have an offer from Yale.
And Stanford, too. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's crazy what basketball can do, like, for your opportunities and everything. Like, I never thought a couple years ago that I'd be getting an offer from Stanford and Yale. Like, it's amazing what basketball can do and what it did for me.
I mean, I'd also put Northwestern in that same breath, right? And Northwestern is a drive away. Is Northwestern appealing?
Yeah, it's very appealing. It's very close to home, very great academics, and really good basketball as of recently.
Do you have any official visits set up?
Yeah, I have Virginia Tech, Texas Tech, and Iowa, and I'm looking to schedule Butler and Xavier soon. So, yeah.
And have you been to Northwestern yet?
Yeah, I've been to Northwestern and Nebraska. So, okay, those are the first two official visits.
What stood out about those official visits?
I'd probably say just like the atmosphere, like the crowd. Everyone loves basketball in those cities, like Nebraska. It's a basketball city. And then Northwestern, beautiful campus, great people you're surrounded by. And like everyone just loves the basketball of Northwestern. Like that's the thing, especially the recent years when they made the tournament and everything.
Why do you think you blew up so much this summer? I mean, you're the same player, but is it the work you've put in and then the success you had on the court with D1 Minnesota?
I'd probably say, like, the change of AAU teams definitely helped. And then I feel like the amount of work, like, my volume of work, it just went up so far. And I started taking it seriously, like, really this year. And then everything has just been going up from then.
What clicked when you said you started to take it seriously? What changed?
I actually started training with a group called A3 Sports Group. You know Kerwin Walton from Hopkins? So his dad runs it. So I train with my trainer every day. And he works with Kerwin. And I train with Kerwin in the summers.
Yeah, and I've seen his dad put Kerwin through a workout, so there's no messing around in those workouts, is there?
Crazy. Yeah, there's no messing around in those workouts. Like, his work ethic is crazy, and I feel like that's kind of bled into, like, my work ethic. And I feel like that's what I've taken off for sure.
How much pride do you take in the academic side of things, being a student? When you talk about Yale, Stanford, Northwestern, clearly you take academics seriously.
Yeah, I take academics very seriously. That's actually the reason why I transferred to Tino Grace. Everyone thinks it's for the basketball because I was at Osseo before, but Tino Grace academics is amazing, and then the networking and connection here is just incredible. Everyone's been so nice to me when I transferred, so just really, like, being surrounded by people who have the same goals, like, academically wise and, like, for the future, it's been insane.
Hey, tell us a little bit more about your game. So if you had to describe your game to a scout, you mentioned how you can guard 1-4, but give me a little bit more about the player you are, the type of game you play.
I'd probably say a three-level scorer, small forward, that can play any other position, but I'd probably say a three-level scorer and then two-way. I feel like my defense is very underrated, like guarding 1-4.
So a couple of your AAU teammates are committed to the Gophers, but the Gophers haven't hopped in on you.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think it's fine because Coach Sorsen has been very honest with me that they already have finished their class of 2024 recruits, so there's nothing I can really do about it, but it's a motivator for sure to keep working that when I get into the college, I can use against them, especially when we play the Gophers, play good against them, and then show them that should have been me.
All right, well, when you say play the Gophers, then I'm thinking, well, Nebraska, Northwestern, or Iowa then, huh?
I mean, we'll see. We'll see when the time comes, but those are very good schools for sure.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see the Gophers play Butler, Xavier, right? And who else did you say? Virginia Tech, Texas Tech, but I don't know if the Gophers are playing those teams anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see for sure.
Do you have a timeline for when you want to make a decision?
I was thinking around late September. We'll take those last couple official visits in September and then decide by late September.
Okay, so remind me on the official visits. So you've taken Nebraska, Northwestern, so you have three more to go. So who are the three?
Virginia Tech, Texas Tech, and Iowa, and I'm scheduling Butler and Xavier in between there. So it's going to be a busy couple weeks for sure.
Okay, so you can take more than five official visits, or will those be unofficial visits?
No, those will be five because the new rule, like starting July 1st, you could take unlimited officials, which is amazing. So it will definitely aid in my choosing of what college I'm going to go to.
Isaiah, what else is important to know about you, the player, as we tell your story?
I'd probably say just like, it's just work. It really is just work. That's why I'm getting everything I'm getting. Just stay in the gym. Stay focused on your goals. Like, don't go partying, go doing all this. Just really just like staying focused is what got me to where I am now.
What else is important to know about you, the person?
I'd probably say like hardworking in the classroom for sure. Like, a lot of people don't think I work hard in the classroom. It's just basketball, but I do take time and effort. After school, I'm always doing homework. Before school, I'm doing homework, waking up early to get homework done and everything, but I do take academics very seriously.
Coach told me, too, socially, like, you gravitate toward all sorts of different kids. You just don't hang around athletes. Like, is that a part of the story of who you are?
I would say, yeah, for sure, especially transferring here. Like, there's so many smart kids here, and everyone's been really nice to me, so just fitting in with everyone was just kind of been my goal.
Anything else important for us to know?
That's good. You pretty much covered everything.
Impressive young man. Heck, when Stanford, Northwestern, and Yale want you, that says it all about all the accomplishments on his front in the classroom. All right, we are done here on Scoop Podcast episode 422. I'll be back with Judd Zolgad and a combination of Declan Goff, Phil Mackey on Tuesday on Score North, plus Thursday. Then I'm out of town starting on Saturday for a week. So I don't know the next time I will do a Scoop-centric, my own Scoop podcast, but I certainly will bring some Scoop elements to Score North Tuesday and Thursday. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Stay safe, stay sane.